Debbie Quain. Today's Tuesday, August 7th, and you're listening to episode 316 of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you for joining me. This show is broadcast live every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. To get show schedules and show replays, simply visit confettiradio.com. And for free articles and tips about starting a wedding planning business, check out weddingsforaliving.com. For much more detailed help with starting your wedding planning business, please visit weddingbusinessguide.com, where you can find downloadable forms, audio classes, and more. Okay, I got a great show lined up for you today, if I can just get my stuff together. Tonight's show is the second in our No Weddings series, K-N-O-W. No Weddings is it's a series of shows that provides new and aspiring wedding planners with a working knowledge of all aspects of a wedding. I think it's really important as a wedding planner that you know what goes on at a wedding. And our last show, excuse me, I'm a little hoarse. Our last show, we talked about what happens at a wedding, and we went through a typical mainstream Protestant wedding as a guideline for what happens from ceremony, reception, and so forth. I wanted to mention something that I forgot to say during that episode, and that's here in America, typically the attendants during the processional go ahead of the bride. They go down the aisle first. In the United Kingdom, the bridal attendants actually come down after the bride and her escort. So there is a difference. I just wanted to make sure that I made that clear. So if you happen to be planning a wedding in the United Kingdom and you're U.S. based, and or if you go to a wedding in the United Kingdom, you're wondering, why are all the attendants coming down afterwards? And that's just the way it's done. I know when I was my sister's bridesmaid, we followed her down the aisle. It's only when I came to the U.S. that I realized it was done the opposite way. So again, we used last week the mainstream Protestant wedding as a guideline just to, you know, to show what happens step by step. But as you plan weddings and as you meet other people, as you meet your clients from different walks of life, there'll be different rites and rituals that they go through. Okay? I did want to mention that if you're on the phone, the number, by the way, I'll make sure I say the number, which is 626-213-5678. If you have a question and you'd like to participate, just hit the number 1 and I'll bring you on live. If you're in the online chat room, and again, that's on confettiradio.com/live, you can type your comments and your questions in there. Oh, I did want to say one thing. I forgot to mention this. So, you know, you can listen to the show replays at confettiradio.com, right? But you can also listen to episode replays of Confetti while you're on the go. So I know a lot of you listen when you're either working out or when you're driving in your iPod, you know, with your portable device. So Stitcher. STI, you know, Stitcher, like sewing stitch. Stitcher is a smart radio, which is a free news talk and mobile. No, Debbie, get it together. News and talk mobile app for your smartphone, and you can listen to Confetti there. And if you are on Confetti Live, you'll see there's a little ad on the right hand side, and if you click that, that'll take you to Stitcher. Right now, when you download the app in to hear Confetti Radio, you do have a chance to win $100. You're just automatically entered. And the way you do that is you just go to stitcher.com/confetti and you download the app. And when it asks you for the promotional code, just put in Confetti, C-O-N-F-E-T-T, right? C-O-N-F-E-T-T-I, and put that in, and you'll automatically be entered to win, you know, $100. It's the easiest way to do that. Okay, so you can download the app either on your mobile device, whatever app store you go to, you can download the Stitcher app there. Just remember to put the word Confetti in the promotional code. Okay, so I'm really going to get to it now. All right, so today let's discuss the various and traditional roles and responsibilities of the bridal party members and how you, the professional wedding planner, interact with the bridal party. So it's kind of two-part. We're going to go over the basics, and then I'll just sort of pepper it with a little bit of information that will be helpful. So I'm just looking at my notes here. So attendants or the bridal party really are chosen basically to act as witnesses for the wedding. But, you know, there's more to it than that, because if it really was about witnesses, we wouldn't see weddings where there, you know, a string of bridesmaids and groomsmen. The history goes back to, like, to early England, and what would happen is the bride would walk to her wedding, and what she would do is she would have her friends walk with her. They would all be dressed identically, and the reason for them being dressed identically was to ward off the jealous evil spirits, so the evil spirits couldn't tell which one was actually the bride. So that was the idea, and that's where we sort of have the bridal party as we, you know, as we know it today. Attendants no longer ward off evil spirits. At least to my knowledge, they do not ward off evil spirits. In fact, I've seen some bridal attendants who would actually fit the bill as evil spirits, but I digress. So traditionally, historically, that's where the bridal party, the idea of the bridal party comes from. But, you know, their selection, when someone selects someone to be in their wedding, to be part of the bridal party, it's a gesture of love and it's a gesture of friendship. Traditionally, the bride would select female attendants and the groom would select male attendants, but not anymore. You may have seen or witnessed weddings where the bride has a male attendant and the groom may have a female attendant. So, you know, be open to that. If you haven't heard of such a thing, shocking. It does happen. So it doesn't have to be, there are no longer traditional roles that are male or female with a wedding. For those of you just joining on blogtalkradio.com, the chat is there, but if you want to come on over to Confetti, ConfettiLive.com, you'll see there's a chat window at the bottom. If you just click the chat tab at the bottom, and you can, underneath the video stream, and you can post your comments there. But I'm sort of keeping an eye on both. But we've got kind of viewers on both sides of the fence there. So when your clients have to pick out bridal party members, if you are involved in the wedding early enough, you know, you want to be the person that gives them the advice. And they need to think about a few things, and some things may not even come to mind. You want to let them focus, you know, think about how big and formal is the wedding. You know, if it's a big wedding, then you can have a huge bridal party. But if it's a small, intimate wedding, you don't want it to be a situation where there are more attendants than wedding guests. So, you know, kind of, you want to put that into their minds, get them thinking about that. Also, how big, you know, physically, size-wise, how big is the ceremony site? Because based on the arrangement, there may only be room for one or two attendants. So keep that in mind. On our last show, we had a call from a wedding planner who was talking about the ceremony site being rather small. And so think about that. If it's a venue that isn't huge, you know, having a huge bridal party is going to look odd, much less, you know, can they even fit in there? So bring those things to your client's attention. If you notice the venue, I mean, if you're involved in the wedding from the get-go, because a lot of times we come in after the fact, when not after the wedding, but you know what I mean, after the planning has taken place. So keep that in mind. Also, you know, remind your clients that they've got to be practical. More attendance equals more money, and a lot of brides, grooms don't think about that. Traditionally, the couple pays for bouquets, boutonnieres, wedding gifts, and actually, traditionally they pay for the accommodation for attendants who aren't local. So more attendance equals more money. And also think about the reception. If they're in the wedding bridal party, they're going to be at the wedding reception. So if you've got 5 people in your bridal party and you expend that to 10, those additional 5 people may not sound like a big deal, but if you're at a place that's charging $100 a head or something like that, that can be a substantial addition to the budget. I mean, we're not even talking about if they bring, you know, a guest with them or their spouses. So if your clients are on a budget, having a huge bridal party may not seem like a big deal to them, especially because, you know, traditionally the bridal party members pay for their own, you know, attire and things like that. But you do have to keep in mind that it does cost for your clients too. So if budget is a concern, you know, you don't want to forget about that. Also, for some weddings, depending on the religion, the requirement may be that the bridal party members may need to be members of the couple's faith. I haven't experienced that yet, but that's quite possible. So these are the things that you want to think about and remind your client about, because they're not thinking about stuff like that. Everyone's euphoric and wants to, you know, they just in wedding planning mode, but you've got to be, you know, I always say this, the voice of reason to bring these things. It's not like you want to be a downer, but you're just keeping it real. Okay, so helping your clients to choose attendants, you know, ideally a few basic plans should be in order before attendants are selected. And a lot of people, once the proposal has taken place and they're definitely getting married, the next thing, you know, is, oh my gosh, I want you to be my wedding. But again, if you are involved ahead of time. And you know what? Even if you're not involved ahead of time, if you're writing articles, if you have a Twitter account, if you're on Facebook and you're trying to think of content, these are good things to, just share tips with clients and potential clients. So, the date, the time, and the location of the wedding ideally should already be figured out. That's a good thing for your clients before they start inviting people to be part of their bridal party, unless they know that, whenever I get married, my sister Lucy is going to be my wedding. Then that's a little different. They need to be prepared to share how formal the wedding is, and any pre-wedding events that they expect their bridal party to attend. Because, it's one thing to invite someone to be part of your bridal party, but not everybody knows what they're signing up for. There's more to it than just the gown or the suit or the tux for the guys. There are a lot of other expenses tied in. So if there are wedding events that they're supposed to be a part of, especially like if it's a destination wedding, how are they getting there? Again, traditionally, the couple pays for the bridal party's accommodation, but not their transportation to get there. Okay. One thing, then, we are going to get to the roles of the bridal party, just going through things as swiftly as I can, not to rush it, but I just don't want to keep everyone here, longer than we need to be. One thing that I did, I've only done it in one wedding, shame on me, but as a wedding planner, it really is our responsibility to help the client keep the bridal party informed. Remember, hopefully they're only getting married the one time. We are in the business of doing weddings over and over again. So they're looking to us to provide them with guidance as to what they should do. And the bridal party is no different. You want to be able to share with the bridal party not only what their roles and their responsibilities are, but you want to keep them abreast as to what's going on with the wedding. So I've kind of moved forward here. So we've gotten to the point where someone has already determined, your client has already determined who's going to be in their wedding. So I think it's a really nice touch. What I did was just I created a handout, and I started thinking about this when I knew I was preparing for the show, and I thought there were so many more things I could have added. But the idea is that you share with the bridal party all the stuff that's going on, and it gives you a chance to brand your company name and your logo. And you can either do this as a sequence of emails or as a paper handout. You could do it as a web page or that on your website that maybe has a password that you share with the bridal party. And the sort of things that you can include would be like the bridal party 411. And what I mean by that are the names and the phone numbers and the emails of the bridal party members. You make sure to get permission first. Don't assume that everybody wants to share their information with everybody else, right? So you include, the maid of honor's email and her phone number and things like that. You want to include the dates and times of parties and showers that they're invited to, although, they're not obligated to attend, and you should mention that. Rehearsal time and place, rehearsal dinner arrangements, the attire guidelines. So you could specify where, the shops where the dresses are, or where they can order the dresses, the accessory guidelines, things they can do with their hair. So it's like you now are in the position that you are the go-to person, not just for your clients, but for their bridal party. So they're coming, you're sharing that information with them. You can share accommodation, if they're, hotels, or if there's a block of rooms or directions and things around the hotel. You can share info about where they're going to get dressed on the wedding day. You can share transportation arrangements, who's riding with whom, either to the ceremony and onto the reception site. You can share the wedding photo location and the times. These are things that you can share with the bridal party, and I think it's a really, really cool idea to do this and keeps everybody on the same page. Clearly, not all of that information is going to be available at one time. It's going to be staggered. As your couple determines where the rehearsal dinner is going to be, then you can share that. So these are things that you can do. And again, you can brand the information. It's okay to send that out with your company name, your company website, your company logo, if it's on paper. And of course, if they're going to a web page, then you can, it's already branded, it's on your website. Even if the page is not protected, meaning you don't set up a password, you can just make it a page that's not listed, meaning there's no link on your website, but you just direct them in an email, say, go to this page. It's not advertised anywhere. So that's another way to do that. So, you know, don't be afraid to try something differently. And I know a lot of wedding planners are not doing that. We focus on the bridal, you know, on our couple, our clients, our direct clients. But when people see how competent and how detailed you are, then the likelihood that they are going, the likelihood that they will remember you when they or someone they know needs a wedding planner increases. It makes perfect sense. And again, I did this once, and I should have been doing that for most of my weddings. I've done it once, but it really is a good idea. I think it is anyhow. So let's talk about bridal party responsibilities. There are traditional roles, and there's no shortage of that information. You can go to any bridal magazine, any bridal wedding planning book, a lot of the websites, the Knot, Wedding Wire, all that information is there. Don't think because the information is there that everybody knows what it is. Again, this is another opportunity for you to display your knowledge and to brand what you do and to brand who you are. So you can take that information, I was going to say swipe, which isn't really the best way, but you know what I mean? You can take that information and repurpose it that you find and put that on your company letterhead or put that on a page on your website, because automatically it just by someone reading that under your brand, that just positions you as the expert. So I'm not going to bore you with all the details of all the roles and responsibilities. I'm going to touch on some of the things that I think are really important. And before I do that, I just want to welcome those of you that are just joining, because I can see more of you joining on the switchboard. You're listening to Confetti Radio, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. If you have a question and you'd like to ask it on the air, you can dial 626-213-5678. You can listen to the show without saying a word. If you have a question, just hit the number 1. If you'd like to join the chat room, which is awfully quiet today, you can go on to confettilive.com. And the chat room, just click the chat tab, which is below the video broadcast. And you can type your question, your comment in there. You can also, if you're on Twitter, you can use the Confetti Radio hashtag, which I'm not monitoring. What is the point of me suggesting that and I'm not monitoring? So if someone sees a question, if you're on Twitter and you want to post that in the chat or just over the phone, that's fine. Hey, guys, you're in the chat room. If you'd like to share your URL, please do so. Just post your URL in the chat room, your Facebook, your Twitter, your webpage, however you want people to communicate with you, feel free to do that. Okay, so let's talk about some of these responsibilities, these duties. Before I do that, if you ever hear the term honor attendant, and I have to say if you ever, because it's not a term that I use a lot, but an honor attendant basically is either the maid or matron of honor or the best man. So it's someone who has an elevated role within the bridal party. And I can hear some of you saying, yeah, Debbie, who doesn't know that? I don't use the term honor attendants. So the primary role of an honor attendant is to really be the couple's best friend, is to really be, their support system. You as wedding planner are the support system, but when you select someone to be your maid of honor, matron of honor, or best man, this is someone that should be someone that you trust and someone who has your best interests at heart if you are the bride or the groom. So again, the primary role for the honor attendant is to be the couple's best friend. The secondary role of an honor attendant is really to oversee the other bridal party members. If you've ever watched a show like Bridezilla, oh, yoy, and you've just seen the headaches that, you know, some bridesmaids can, the brides too, but really the bridesmaids are there to support. So the honor attendants, the maid of honor, matron of honor, best man, is there to oversee what the others are doing. So sometimes if that person can act as a buffer, that's one less thing for your clients to have to worry about. So again, when you're talking as the wedding planner, reach out to the maid of honor, reach out to the best man and let them know you're here. If they have any questions, if they're unsure of what they should do, or if there's a bit of a dilemma, or if they are seeing some of the bridal party members are a little out of control, let them reach out to you, you know, so that you can be their support system, assuming that you're willing to do that. But I don't think it's a bad idea to do that anyway. So maid of honor and matron of honor, I'll state the obvious. Matron of honor is someone who's married and maid of honor is not. Some of the duties include making sure that the bridesmaids are at their fittings when they're supposed to be. Helping to address invitations and place cards. If you've ever had to do that, it's one of the most tiring roles. As a wedding planner, I don't do that. I don't even include that in my description. And if you're willing to do that, then more power to you. But I think you should be billing. That's time. It takes a lot of time if you're willing to help your clients address envelopes, but hire a calligrapher or sub that workout. It's not like a general contractor, but you can send that to someone else. But it really it's time consuming, and the maid of honor really should take up that role. Maid or matron of honor is expected to attend the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner. This person walks in the processional going in and also for the recessional coming out. The maid of honor actually is someone who witnesses the signing of the marriage certificate. The marriage certificate, remember, is the document prior to the... The marriage license is the document that gives the couple the permission that they get before the wedding. But the marriage certificate is the document that needs to be signed, and then the officiant will send that back to whoever, the state or the county, and then it ends up, the clients will end up having that back when it's completed. So the maid of honor is someone who typically signs that marriage certificate. That is one of her important roles. She's also responsible for holding the bride's bouquet when they're exchanging vows. If there is a receiving line, the maid of honor is usually part of that receiving line. Remember, receiving line is what happens at a wedding when your clients don't think that they're going to have the opportunity to talk with all of the guests at the wedding. So the receiving line either happens at the ceremony site or at the reception site. And really, it's the bride and groom, best man, maid of honor, as I just said, and parents of the bride, bridesmaids, and usually not included in the receiving line. Otherwise, they will be there forever. She also keeps the bride on schedule. Again, she's the bride's best friend, whether she is or not. She may not be your BFF, but oftentimes she is. But that's her role. When someone agrees to be maid or matron of honor, they're sort of stepping up and doing more than the average bridesmaid. Okay. All right. So the best man, and I'm saying best man and maid of honor. I'm saying he and she. Remember, these roles do not necessarily mean a best man does not have to be a male. Maid of honor does not have to be female, although if it's a gentleman filling in that role, I don't think he's called maid of honor. Maybe, honor attendant or what's the term? What would you call a man who's filling in who's acting as an honor attendant for the bride? I guess it would just be honor attendant. I don't know. If anyone knows what that term is, I'm not going to pretend like I know that. So the best man gets the groom dressed. I mean, doesn't necessarily dress him, but make sure that he gets dressed and gets to the ceremony on time. He makes sure that the groom's any wedding related expenses are taken care of. So, if a clergy needs to be paid, if someone needs to be paid, and the groom takes on that role, then the best man makes sure that it happens. That's sort of like his wingman, right? He takes care of and holds the bride's ring. Very important. And make sure that the groomsmen and the ushers are properly dressed and on time. Very important. And the best man walks in the recessional. I did not say the processionals because usually the best man does not walk in the processional that's going in. He'll stand at the altar with the groom. That's usually where he is positioned as the processional is taking place. Okay, so that's just a few of the best man duties. He's also responsible for witnessing the signing of the marriage certificate. And another big deal for the best man is that he offers the first toast at the reception, and it's a toast to the couple. So again, that's something that you can step in and help with. And don't worry if you're not even sure for yourself about the toast, because you know where to find that information, right? So you look that up, and you know where the resources are and some suggestions, and just you can email that. Again, just because this information is on the web, it doesn't mean that everybody is going on the web to find that information. If you can just be that source, that resource, then that's what you should do. Don't wait for someone to ask you to do that. Just provide that. Remember, as the wedding planner, you're going to step forward and be proactive. Hopefully, that's the role that we're filling. And the best man also, it's a nice touch to have the car ready at the end of the reception, sort of the getaway car. Or if there is, and when I'm talking about the getaway car, I'm sort of like, with the tin cans, and we talked about this in the last show. I don't see too much of that, but I think that's so much of a fun activity, to have the car decorated, and then when the couple leaves, everybody waves them off. I think it's a really cool thing to do and a great way to end the reception. So the best man is responsible for making sure that's done. Even if there is a limousine, if your couple wants to have the limousine wait, but there's no reason to. And a lot of limo companies will drop the bride and the groom off at the wedding reception and then go. But traditionally, the best man is responsible for that car. If there is no car at the end of the reception that's just, you know, decorated, then the breast man actually traditionally takes the couple to wherever the destination is, whether it's onto their honeymoon or whether they're going to a hotel, wherever they're headed for the night, the best man usually takes on that role. So again, I'm going over these roles, and I know many of you know that, but some of us are new to wedding planning, and it's just helpful to know what the responsibilities are so that we can share that with our clients. Okay, let's talk about bridesmaids. The bridesmaids really should be attending as many of the prenuptial events as possible, the bridal showers, the bachelorette parties, as possible. Again, it's not required. They should be assisting the bride with errands, and willingly, and with as little attitude as possible, we hope. They may be responsible for hosting or co-hosting a shower. That usually happens. Usually all the bridesmaids get together to do that. And they should be willing to dance with the groomsmen and or ushers at the wedding reception. Also, if they're a single male guest, the bridesmaids actually traditionally dance with them. So hopefully someone who's a good sport and someone who's not going to be too much of a sourpuss at the wedding. I think that when I was doing my notes, I noticed someplace that there was a note that said the bridesmaids are actually responsible for looking after the couple's elderly relatives and friends. I didn't know that, and I've been a bridesmaid a couple of times, and I haven't done that. So maybe I'm a bad bridesmaid, but this is a role that you can have them help with. Also, let's talk about the groomsmen. Those are some of the basic things for a bridesmaid. Groomsman usher. We talked about this in the last show because that term is used interchangeably a lot, and really it's not an interchangeable. Technically, it isn't. The usher's main role is to be the greeter, is to greet people as they come into the ceremony site. But a lot of weddings, you'll see the groomsmen, the guys that escort the female attendants down the aisle and stand at the altar with the groom, also serve the role as usher. So they'll do both. They'll help guests come in, get them seated, and then they'll take on that role as part of the processional. But so when you hear those interchangeably, you know, technically they are different roles. So if someone's acting as a groomsman and only as a groomsman, then he's going to stand at the altar. He's going to be at the wedding rehearsal and rehearsal dinner and a lot of the events that happen before the wedding, a lot of the prenuptial events. Serving as an usher and a groomsman or just an usher, then again, is responsible for greeting guests and getting them seated. If you've ever been to a wedding and there's nobody at the back of the church or wherever the ceremony site is, having an usher there, having a few ushers is a really, really nice touch. And maybe I'm just going to weddings that are very casual, but I haven't seen a lot of it. And a lot of the weddings I've planned, that hasn't happened, where they have a separate usher. But it's really nice touch to have someone escort you. Someone asks you, are you friends or relative of the bride or friend or relative of the groom? And then that person escorts me to my seat. And then once I'm seated, hands me a program. It's very, very nice touch because a wedding is usually a formal event. So as an usher, that's what they're responsible for. If there's special seating assigned for special guests, then the usher needs to know that ahead of time so that when those people arrive that he can seat them. Also, if there are boutonnieres and corsages to be distributed to special guests, that's something that the usher can do too. And this will help you as a wedding planner if you are in a situation where you're short-staffed. You know, get the help of your clients' ushers, or if they find that they have more people than they have bridal party roles, then suggest that they have a few ushers. And an usher does not have to be a gentleman. It can be a woman that can do that job, just as long as there's sort of some sort of consistency to their look. And it may just be that they wear black, or they may just all wear a certain type of flower on the lapel or something like that. The head usher or the lead usher has to make sure that the other ushers know what to do. That should be something that they're required. They should. So you, wedding planner, will instruct the head usher how to seat someone, and they, in turn, will make sure the others know what that's about and make sure that everyone has directions. Again, if they are following in the role as groomsmen, they'll stand at the altar, and then it'll be part of the recessional at the bridal party exits. Okay? But just remember, you need to be the person that guides and instructs the ushers what to do. All right, junior bridesmaid. This is a tricky one because I always get questions about the junior bridesmaid. So for girls who are too old to be flower girls and are not quite old enough to be bridesmaids, then junior bridesmaid is usually the role that they fall under. So usually it's a young lady age between the ages of 8 between the age of 8 and 14 years old. And really, their only duty as junior bridesmaid is to be in the processional. That's really it. And I guess the recessional, too. If they're going down, they should come back up. But, I mean, they're not required to be part of any of the prenuptial activities, although you're welcome to invite them. And based on age, it's unlikely that they'll be involved in much of the activities. But really, the junior bridesmaid's main job is to look very cute and to walk down the aisle at the beginning and to walk back up. Flower girl is a role that's reserved for someone who's aged usually between 3 to 7 years old, and she's responsible for walking directly in front of the bride and her escort when they're going down the aisle, going into the church or into the ceremony site, and she scatters petals from a basket. Surprise, surprise. Usually for the recessional, she'll walk back with the ring bearer, which we'll talk about in a moment. Also going in, she may walk with the ring bearer too. So it's up to you, and it's up to your clients how they want to do that. Speaking of ring bearer is usually a young gentleman who's aged between 3 and 7 years old, depending on maturity, and he looks very cute. He carries a ring on a pillow or cushion, and it can either be real rings or pretend rings. So rings, you know, just rings that, you know, just fake rings. Having a ring bearer carry the real rings on a ring pillow is a leap of faith. So be careful with that. And I'm sure some of us have seen, sometimes the ring bearer isn't even a human being. So for those of us that love our pets, I've seen the dog be the ring bearer with the rings I'm pointing because I don't know that everyone can see, either on the back of the collar or underneath. So again, it's up to your clients however they want to do that. And depending on where the ceremony site is, if they allow animals, if they allow pets there. Okay, so those are really the main roles of the bridal party. The bride and the groom, I actually put that in the show notes, but I realize that's a little more detailed. I mean, the bride and groom are the stars of the show, and, you know, their responsibility is to be there on the wedding day, to get down the aisle, and just to have the best time of their life. That's my belief anyway. But I'm going to reserve that for a different episode. But those, the people that I just mentioned, the best man, the maid of honor or matron of honor, bridesmaids or female attendants, male attendants or groomsmen or usher, flower girl, ring bearer, junior bridesmaid, those are the people that make up the bridal party. The parents of the bride have a significant role. Grandparents of the bride and groom, excuse me, may have a significant role, but they're not traditionally part of the bridal party. And I'm going to contradict myself almost immediately, because in the receiving line, then the parents are actually part of the bridal party, because they would be part of that lineup. So just keep in mind, these are traditional guidelines. Your clients can decide however they want to do things. There is a myth that the bridesmaids need to match the groomsmen. So if there are 5 bridesmaids, they need to be 5 groomsmen. Not the case at all. It doesn't have to be that way. Your bride may have 3 female attendants, and the groomsman may have 7, you know, guys that he wants at the altar with him. That's fine. So it doesn't have to be matchy-matchy and evenly balanced. A wedding is really a reflection of your clients being individual and doing what makes them feel good. Again, your role is to share with them what's traditionally done and then let them decide how they want to take it from there. Traditionally, each bridal party member does pay for his or her clothing, so your clients want to keep that in mind. If there's someone that they really want in their bridal party, if financially they're not in a position to pay for their garments. Gosh, that's where that word come from. But yeah, their garments. I'm going to say their garments, their clothing. Then it's up to your clients if they want to help them out with that, and they can help them out with that. They don't have to share that with anyone, and neither should you. Neither should you. That's between them. If they want to others to know, that's fine. But usually in a situation like that, especially the person in the bridal party, you don't need to share that information. So just actually, as a sidebar, information that your client shares with you, don't assume that everybody has that information, has that knowledge. So be very careful what your client shares with you and then what you in turn share with everybody else. Just keep everything on a need-to-know basis with vendors that need to know, even as much as family. Sometimes there's situations where the couple doesn't want their parents to know certain things, doesn't want their family members to know certain things. So just be careful. And always, if you're not sure, just ask. Again, the couple pays for accommodation traditionally. If it's a destination wedding, your clients really should let the bridal party know ahead of time. You know, if you can get yourself over to for the Bahamas, we're going to take care of your hotel. So they then get to decide, and, you know, if they can afford the trip, and if they want to, if they've got the time or even have the desire to travel that far away. And as a professional wedding plan, just remember to help your couple and to help your couple to guide and manage their bridal party. That's the least you can do. A lot of wedding planners, we fall short of that. We are so focused on our clients and with everything else, we forget that we actually are there to help with the bridal party too, at least, or at least you should be. Okay? All right. So that's most of the information. Let me take a look at the chat. We're very short and sweet there. Hi, Martha. And Divine Events and Laura Farrick. I can see we've got some people on Blog Talk Radio and some folks are on Confetti Live. Martha asks, if the best man asks for advice about the toast, just help him by asking what the couple means to him or if he is really close to them, just to bring memories, yes. So he does not give a speech made by someone else. This is a very special moment for the couple. That's a very good point, Martha. So you're saying it should come from the heart, and it should. It should absolutely. What I found, though, sometimes, Martha, is that even though folks who are very close and have a lot of love for the clients, a lot of people are not comfortable speaking. So suggesting a speech or giving them some guidelines as a starting point is a good thing. And then they can sort of insert their personal feelings and their experiences. When a speech is not prepared, as you may have witnessed, as I'm sure you've witnessed, it can sort of drag on and on and on and on. It loses its momentum and then people are shifting their feet because they're ready for it to be over. So when someone comes, you know, as a wedding planner, I think it's a really good idea to help your clients and help their bridal party with what to do and what to say. If you don't have a book on your bookshelf about making speeches and making a toast, then you should. It's something that you can reference at a moment's notice. Even if you do have internet access, I think it's a really good idea just to browse through and see, you know, just what the guidelines are. And also share with your clients, too, what the guidelines are for, you know, when they're being toasted. Because, you know, when everybody toasts, if I'm being toasted, I'm actually not supposed, everyone lifts their glass and take a sip. I'm not supposed to. And I was committing that faux pas for years. So when someone's being toasted, they sit, everybody else stands, everybody else says, you know, to the bride and groom, and they take a sip, but the bride and groom actually don't. They sort of just sit there and just beam. So little things like that you want to share with your clients. I don't expect us to know everything. I just want us to make sure that we know where to go when someone asks us a question. Okay? All right. Let's see. Deborah, Drake Gordon, hi there. Your question. A bride wanted me to email her bridesmaids to tell them to make sure they take a... Okay. We try again. A bride wanted me to email her bridesmaids to tell them to make sure they take a bath and shave before the next dress fitting because some of them were not so fresh. I told her that's not my responsibility. Was I wrong? I mean, they're her friends and family, and I don't know them. I didn't know them like that. Whoa. That's a tough one. I'd have to agree with you, Deborah. It's all about that relationship building, because if someone's never heard from you or has never spoken to you, and then the first words or the first time you communicate with them, I shouldn't laugh. The first time you communicate with them is to tell them you need to take a bath and you need to take a shower. It's a little off, but, you know, it's kind of, what do you guys think? I mean, there are ways that you can handle that, maybe as a general thing, you know, and if you're doing sort of like the update and, you know, our next fitting is on such and such a date, please make sure, just so that, how do you say that? Someone's going to be ticked off. But I think it's sort of like when that someone's behaving badly in a group or that just don't know how to act, and then you address the group, but really it's directed at that one person. It's kind of sort of the same thing, I would imagine. And theory is great. I'm sitting here saying, well, this is what you should say, but that's a tricky one, which is why we want to make sure that we get our introduction to the bridal party long before it's actually needed. So I know that doesn't help in hindsight, but Deborah, I think I'm sort of with you. It's just how, you know, but you're saying this was for a fitting, right? Before, yeah, it's dress fitting. So it's important. And I think for dress fitting, that's a fair thing to say. But just to make sure, and, you know, and it's really hot in the D.C. area right now. You know, it's real hot and it's real together. So please, let's make sure. Or you can even say something. I always tend to make it back up, you know, about me. Oh, you know, even though I shower and stuff, I'm usually, you know, a couple of hours into the day, I'm really hot and sweaty. So, you know, maybe we need to take a shower. And I always use this we term. all is French that I'm speaking. So maybe that will help alleviate the pointing of the finger. But that's a tricky one, Deborah. I think I may be like you. I'm sort of wondering if I would want to say that as my first thing to say, because then, you know, people sort of, you know, the wedding planner who told us to take a shower, not really cool. Guest 919 is saying, perhaps on the day of responsibility sheet, it could just be included as just your basic form. I like that. That's a really good idea. So that could be on that note thing, on that tip sheet, on that handout. So yeah, that's a good thing. So Deborah, a lot of times, and I keep saying it, but it's the truth, right? Once we know, once we're prepared and we have a response, it just makes life so much easier when, you know, when we're faced with that, because we're sort of like our ammunition. It's sort of like, you know, someone hits you with this and sort of like, haha, I've got this. So I like that idea a lot. Whoever guessed 919 is, I like that a lot. Okay, so Deborah, I don't know if that helps. Once again, I could have sort of went around the circle there, but you sort of caught me off. You noticed when I started reading it, I had to smile a little bit. But yeah, it can be a little hot and sweaty. As some of you can see, I'm just listening right now with the heat here. Martha's suggesting, maybe saying next fitting will be next week, and I heard they're having difficulty with the AC, so please dress comfortable and fresh. Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. That's a wonderful idea, Martha. So again, you sort of take it away from them and sort of make, and I've learned to do that a lot in life. I surprise myself sometimes, especially if I know the other person is blatantly wrong or just out of their mind. I always come back to, well, maybe I misunderstood because I thought you said such and such, or I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you meant, which is really code for, that's not what you said at all. This is what you said. It's just the way that we phrase it. And as we plan more weddings and deal with more people, that becomes easier to do. Okay. All right, great feedback. Any other questions or comments about bridal parties? It's Reggie. My name is Reggie, and my company is A Prelude to Bliss in Fort Lauderdale. Great meeting you all. Hi there, Reggie. Nice to meet you. I like that. A Prelude to Bliss. I'm always tickled when I look at the names. You guys are so creative. I like that a lot. It just sounds wonderful. A Prelude to Bliss. If you have a website URL, which I know you do, or a Facebook URL, why don't you go ahead and post that now in the chat room so that we can get some likes. And remember, Kiki brought up a good point. Actually, Rebecca Price from WeddingS came up with this, posting the Facebook URLs. And then Kiki brought this to my attention. She said that, you know, if you, and I didn't realize this, if you're liking someone else's page as a page, right? So you can either have your profile, which you're required to have on Facebook to create a page. You can have as many pages as you want, right? But we're only supposed to have one profile, which indicates who we are as an individual. So if you're liking someone else's page as your business page, it's not counting towards their likes. You have to like that person's page as your, I had a senior moment, as your profile, as an individual. And it makes sense, because if you can create as many pages as you want, then, you know, there are some people out there, some unethical people that would, you know, would abuse that. So I guess this is one of the checks and balances that Facebook has in place, that you have to like someone else's page as your profile in order for that to count. So if we're liking other pages here, hopefully, please like them as you, the individual, the profile, as your business. You can do both. I think it's a good idea to do both, but so that it counts, like it as your profile. And, you know, I'm being the hypocrite, because my profile, I sort of keep like Fort, you know, it's like it's on lock. It's on Fort, like Fort Knox. I don't do anything on Facebook personally, because I personally believe that it's going to be the detriment to all of us. There, I said it. So I think it's a wonderful thing for business, even though I'm still not that active on social media. But as a personal profile, I mean, if you're looking for me on Facebook, it's going to be hard to find me, because I don't do anything as an individual. But I think I may have to break down and do that so that I can help you with your likes and so forth. Okay? All right, so we had a short and sweet show tonight. Our next show airs in 2 weeks, and the topic is going to be all about wedding invitations and stationery. And that's really a way so we can understand, you know, do we need to use tissue when using an invitation? What's a pew card? How soon should we be sending save the dates? But by its very nature, wedding invitation is a visual component. So we'll do some of it as we do today, like we are today on as audio, but I'm going to have to do it, part of that as a video. And I'm working on how we're going to do that. I'm just not quite sure to announce how that's all going to work out. If you are in the U.S. and you'd like to receive a text message when this show goes live, because sometimes email is just overwhelming, please text the word confetti to the number 72727. So just open up your messaging, your text, like you're going to text a message and use the number as 72727. And the message, just type, you know, enter the word confetti and hit enter. So when the show's about to go live, you'll get a text message. Okay? Some of the shows that I have lined up will not be on Blog Talk Radio. But if you are on the confetti text list, you'll know about it. Also, if you go to confettiradio.com and select subscribe and just put your name and email in there, you're guaranteed to get notification of that too. If you're on weddingsforaliving.com, you're on that email list. I do tie the two of them together, but certain things, I know some people just don't want to be bothered with Confetti Radio, as if, on Weddings for a Living, so I don't want to bombard you with emails. I'm trying to figure out a way to sort of slow them down. I always feel guilty when I send out emails because I think I'm disturbing you, but it's only I don't know any other way to let you know what's happening. So 2 weeks from today, we'll do our next show, God willing, on August 21st. And then 2 weeks from that will be, for here in the U.S., we're celebrating Labor Day, and then we will actually be going weekly for a few weeks, probably right through to November. So as of September, what date is that? Okay, so this is coming up on my calendar. As of September 4th, I think, then we'll be doing every Tuesday for a while. Okay? All right. I think that's it. Any other questions? Let me just double-check the switchboard and the chat. I think we're good. And remember to check out Stitcher Radio. Just use the promotional code CONFETTI. It's really quick. And the thing with Stitcher, it's a way to listen to the replays, but you don't have to download or sync anything. You just go onto Stitcher, and once you go through, you know, Stitcher, if you're online on your desktop, stitcher.com/confetti, but, you know, on your mobile app, as a mobile app on your smartphone, then as the episodes are available, they'll just be in your favorites that way. And just by downloading, you'll be automatically entered to win $100. So it's one of the easiest things that you can do. Okay? All right. So I think that's it. Again, my name is Debbie Quain at Confetti Radio. In a couple of hours, you can also check out blogtalkradio.com/confetti, and you can listen to the show there. And also, the show is on iTunes. Oh, I forgot to ask: if you're on iTunes, please, if you are subscribing to the show on iTunes, please go in there and post a comment about the show. It's a good thing, and it will help. So, good or bad, my skin is pretty tough. Just if you would post a comment on iTunes, that would be good. I don't ask for much, but I would be really overly thankful, if that's even the right term. Okay? So this is Debbie Quain at Confetti Radio. Please be sure to join me for the next live show on Tuesday, August 21 at 7 p.m. Eastern. As always, love and success. I'll talk to you soon.
Confetti. Weddings, weddings is a talk show. Confetti.